Abadva.
Abadva.
After constructing.
After constructing.
Udadal.
Udadal.
In the water of the ocean.
In the water of the ocean.
Raghupatihi.
Raghupatihi.
Lord Ramachandra. Udada. Varieties of. Adrikutahai.
With peaks of great mountains.
Setum, a bridge. Kapi Indra, of powerful monkeys. Karakampita, moved by the great hands. Aburuha Angahai, with the trees and plants. Sugriva,
Sugriva.
Nila,
Nila.
Hanumat.
Hanuman.
Pramukahai. Led by. Anikahai. With such soldiers. Lankam. Lanka, the kingdom of Ravana. Vibhishana Drusha.
By the direction of
Vibhishan. This brother of Ravana. Avishat entered. Agradagdam, which was previously burnt by the monkey soldier Hanuman. So translation, Shukadev Goswami said, after constructing a bridge over the ocean by throwing into the water the peaks of mountains whose trees and other vegetation had been shaken by the hands of great monkeys, Lord Ramachandra went to Lanka to release Sita Devi from the clutches of Ravana. With the direction and help of Vibhishan, Ravana's brother, the Lord, along with the monkey soldiers headed by Sugriva, Nila, and Hanuman, entered Ravana's kingdom, Lanka, which had been previously burnt by Hanuman. So, you can repeat. Shukadeva Goswami said, after constructing a bridge,
over the ocean,
by throwing into the water the peaks of mountains whose trees and other vegetation had been shaken by the hands of great monkeys, Lord Ramachandra went to Lanka to release Sita Devi from the clutches of Ravana. With the direction and help of Vibhishan, Ravana's brother, the Lord, along with the monkey soldiers, headed by Sugriva, Nila, and Hanuman, entered Ravana's kingdom, Lanka, which had been previously burnt by Hanuman. It's a purport by Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Vijay. Great mountain peaks covered with trees and plants were thrown into the sea by the monkey soldiers and began to float by the supreme will of the Lord. By the supreme will of the Lord, many great planets float weightlessly in space like swabs of cotton. If this is possible, why should great mountain peaks not be able to float on water? This is the omnipotence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He can do anything and everything he likes because he is not under the control of the material nature. Indeed, material nature is controlled by him. Maya Dakshina. Maya Dakshina Prakriti Suyate Saracharam. Only under his direction does Prakriti or material nature work. Similar information is given in the Brahma Samhita in the 5th chapter, text 52. Yashyagyaya brahmati samrita kala chakro govindamari purusham tamaham bhajami. Describing how material nature works, the Brahma Samhita says that the sun moves as desired by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Consequently, for Lord Ramchandra to construct a bridge over the Indian Ocean with the help of monkey soldiers who threw great mountain peaks into the water is not at all wonderful. It is wonderful only in the sense that it has kept the name and fame of Lord Ramchandra eternally celebrated. Okay. Vadvo dada ragupatir vividadri kutai setum kapindra karakam pitapuri buru hangai sugrivanila hanumat pramukayani kai longam vibhishana dasha vishara gradagdam. So, Om Gadat Sivadandasha, Gadanjana Shlakaya Chakshur and Meditam, Yena Tasmai Sri Gurudeva Namaha. So today we are celebrating the appearance of Hanuman, the great devotee of Lord Ramchandra, eternally situated at Lord Ramchandra's lotus feet. So we'll tell some stories about Hanuman. So first of all, we'll talk about Hanuman's appearance. Of course, we do know that the Lord ordered the demigods and other devotees to take birth on the earth planet in the form of monkeys and bears. And the reason for that was that our friend Ravan had received the benediction that he would not be killed by great sages or by demigods or apsaras or gandharvas. And he left out human beings because he was so proud. Human beings and animals like monkeys. So he's so proud. So therefore it was required that the devotees took birth as monkeys, bears, and other creatures like that, even spiders. Like when they were crossing the ocean, building the bridge across the ocean, there was even a spider who was helping to build the bridge. And Hanuman, Prabhupada tells this story. Hanuman said to the spider, you know, get out of my way, you know, what could you carry? You're just like kicking a little dust here, you know, I'm afraid I'm going to step on you. And Lord Ramchandra stopped him. And he said, look, the spider's doing as much service as you. So one shouldn't think, because they can't do the same service Hanuman's doing, that they can't be as dear to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anyway, so the Lord ordered his devotees to take birth in these particular forms. And also in the spiritual world, it's interesting, the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, you have Gopakumar going to the spiritual world, and he sees devotees in different forms of animals and Vaikuntha planets. And it's described that these devotees in their previous lives were doing these particular pastimes with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So they're reenacting the pastimes that they had in their previous lives in the material world. Serving the Lord in his Nitya Lila in the material world. So, and also in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita we have Narada Muni running into Hanuman. Very interesting. Narada Muni was looking for the best devotee, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he went through various devotees, you know, devotees on the earth planet, and then the demigods like Indra, and then to Lord Shiva, and then to Prahlad Maharaj, and then after that to Hanuman. And, you know, Prahlad Maharaj sent Narada Muni to Hanuman because Prahlad Maharaj said, the only thing I do is just remember the Lord. Because he's known, like we talked about at the beginning of the talk, that Vishnu Smaranam, remembrance of the Lord, right? So he's saying, you know, all I do is remember. And I don't see the Lord very often, but Hanuman got a chance to serve the Lord for tens of thousands of years. So he went to see Hanuman and he was glorifying Hanuman. And Hanuman actually said that, you know, the Lord, how am I the greatest devotee or a great devotee of the Lord? Because the Lord just left me in this world. He took all the other residents of Ayodhya back to Godhead. He told them to enter into the Sarayu River. And they would all, and he said, you have to stay here, Hanuman. So, you know, what does that mean? Am I a great devotee? Of course, the Lord told them to stay because we needed someone to chant Ram's glories here. And Hanuman stays as long as Ram's glories are chanted in this material world. And Hanuman is so loyal to Lord Ram that he stays in this place called Kim Purusha Loka. Kim Purusha means, is it a human being, basically? Because, you know, they're not, Hanuman is not exactly like the gorillas that you see in the zoo. You know, he's just like partially human looking. I guess the movies are pretty much accurate depiction of him. You know, like you see an ordinary monkey, you go to Vrindavan, you see these rhesus monkeys. You seen the rhesus monkey? The rhesus are the small ones that steal your glasses and your bags of food and everything like that, and they bite. That's not what Hanuman looked like. You know, he stood up straight. Monkeys generally don't stand up. Sometimes they stand up straight. Anyway, so, and he's continually worshiping the deities of Sita and Ram in Kimpurusha Loka. So, getting back to the story, so Narada Muni glorified him, and Hanuman said, I'm not such a great devotee. I mean, you know, you think I'm a good devotee, but actually the Pandavas are the best devotees, or better devotees than me. And also in Dwarka. So, then, it's interesting, it shows Hanuman's great allegiance to the Lord's order. So Narada Muni said, let's go see the Lord, because he's in Dwarka right now. And Hanuman said, I can't go to see him without his order. You know, without Lord Ram's order. In other words, Hanuman wouldn't even listen to Krishna's order. He would only accept Ram's order. Because one time, this interesting story told, if we have Bhagavad Kamrita, Krishna wanted to see Hanuman. Krishna was working. So he called for Garuda, and he said to Garuda, you go and bring Hanuman here. So Garuda went, and he said, Hanuman, Krishna wants to see you. And Hanuman said, only when Ram calls will I go, not even Krishna. You know, so he's so dedicated to that particular form of the Lord, which is interesting. One has a particular relationship with a particular form of the Lord, and that's the chastity a devotee exhibits. Like in the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he had Murari Gupta, who was Hanuman, actually. And he tried to convince Murari Gupta to give up chanting Sita Ram, Sita Ram, Raghupati, Raghava Raja Ram, Patita Pavana, Sita Ram. He tried to convince him just to chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra and become one of the residents of Vrindavan. And he tried, and he couldn't do it. Same thing with Anupama, who was the brother of Sanatana and Rupa Goswami. Rupa and Sanatana Goswami were Krishna Bhaktas, and Anupama was a Ram Bhakta. And they tried. They said, you know, just chant Hare Krishna with us, please. You're our brother. And he tried all night, and he was crying. He said, I could not give up the lotus feet of Lord Raghava. And he was crying all night. And then they praised him for his chastity, of course. That was the test. So the devotee is naturally very attracted to his particular form of the Lord. So getting back to the story in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, then Hanuman was told by Garuda, remember, I just told that story, that Lord Krishna wants to see you. And Hanuman said, no, I'm not going. And Garuda said, you're going to come with me whether you like it or not. And Hanuman, he just basically swished his tail at Garuda. And poor Garuda had to go flying back all the way to Krishna's lotus feet. Because Garuda has this tendency of sometimes becoming a little proud. Can you imagine? You know, we should guard against our pride. Because even a great devotee like Garuda becomes proud. One time he said to Krishna, that without me, you can't go anywhere. You know, you're dependent on me. Not just saying that to Krishna. And Krishna said, okay. And he put his elbow on Garuda. And he said, okay, fly, bird, fly. And Garuda was crushed, basically. Even though he was so powerful that one of his feathers was enough to support the whole universe. That's when, that's why it's called Suparna. When Indra fired the thunderbolt at the sweater. We told that story the other day. So therefore, Garuda became a little humble. So anyway, so Garuda became more humble when Hanuman swished him with his tail. And then Krishna said to Garuda, he said, all right, now you've been taught a lesson by Hanuman. So therefore, now I will assume the form of Lord Ram. So Krishna manifested, because it's the same spiritual body. There's only one God, and he manifests the same spiritual body in different ways, just like an expert actor. I don't know if any of you have ever seen pantomime. I don't know if you know what pantomime is.
Just talking.
It's without talking. Without talking. Pantomime means without talking. So it can make their face look like different things. I mean, they're expert actors. There's one French pantomimist. Anyway, none of you have that culture. Understanding things. So anyway, so the Lord is like that. He can just make himself look differently. sometimes blue skin, green skin, sometimes golden colored. It's the same person. You can't do that. You can't tell me you come one day and you just have blue skin. The next day you're golden colored. And the next day you look like a tortoise. And the next day you look like a fish. You know, you can't do that. But the Lord's transcendental body can be exhibited. It's the same person exhibiting these pastimes. So the Lord manifested himself as Lord Ram. And then he told Rukmini, you manifest yourself as Sita Devi. And then he said to Garuda, tell Hanuman that Ram and Sita want to see him. So Garuda flew back and told Hanuman that. And Hanuman was so happy. Oh, my Lord wants to see him. And then he flew to Dwarka to see Sita and Ram. And that's the one time that Sita and Ram appeared in Dwarka. It's a nice story, isn't it? Did you hear that story? I read the Brihad Bhagavatam, but you would have heard that story. Sanatana Goswami's original work, Brihad Bhagavatam, that discusses all these things. So anyway, let's talk about the birth of Hanuman. Before I got into all these other stories. So, Hanuman is interesting. He's considered like the son of Lord Shiva, the son of Keshari and Anjani, and Vayu. You know, how can you have like three fathers and a few mothers there, you know? It's kind of difficult. So, here's actually the story that once upon a time, Lord Shiva and Parvati, they were having a conjugal relationship, and sometimes they would also take different forms. Sometimes like the monkeys or other, you know, just they're playful. You know, like kids, sometimes they play in different ways. So then Parvati got pregnant, and she said to Lord Shiva that, I really don't want to have a monkey son. I have one son who looks like an elephant, you know, an elephant head. That's Ganeshji. So, you know, can you do something about this? So he called for Vayu. Vayu, of course, is the wind god. And Vayu took the embryo. This is an embryo transplant, like they do nowadays. Big thing. Big thing nowadays, isn't it? Because people can't have children themselves, so they have a transplant. And they even have a surrogate mother. You know what a surrogate mother is? No, you know what that is. They implant it in someone else. They hire someone else to carry their baby for them. And some ladies even don't want to take the trouble of being pregnant, so they hire a lady. It happens. It's true. It's very common. So, anyway, that's another story. So what happened is the embryo was carried, and Vayu was looking for this lady, Anjani. Anjani was actually a great devotee of Hanuman and Lord Rama. And she was previously, there's several versions of the story depending on which Puranas you read, but she was cursed to take birth as a monkey. Because in one version she offended Brihaspati. She was Brihaspati's servant and she was serving Brihaspati and she got lusty and she started kissing him all over the place. You know, Brihaspati's the priest of the demigods, so she was, so. and he basically said, you're acting like a monkey. So, you know, become a monkey, you know. There's other versions of the story. I'm not going to get into all the different versions. But in any case, she was cursed. And she was cursed to come down to the earth planet. And as long as, until she gave birth to Hanuman. So she was married to Keshari. So, and he was also, there's also an indication that he was cursed too to come down to the earth planet too. And so what happened is that she was walking one day and then Vayu just like came and he transported his embryo and she became pregnant. You know, embryo transplant, as we mentioned before. And she gave birth to Hanuman. And so when Hanuman was just born, he asked his mother, this is such a famous story, what should I eat? And she said, you know, you eat something that's nice, like a fruit that's nice and round and reddish and everything like that. And he was looking in the tree, and through the tree there was the sun, you know, coming through the branches. And he thought, wow, that's a big fruit. So he ran, or flew, to capture the sun. He opened himself very wide and was getting ready to eat the sun. At the same time, there was someone else getting ready to attack the sun. His name was Rahu. That's when the Valmiki reminded. It was Rahu. Not that he actually ate the sun, but Rahu was going after him. And he just swished his tail and knocked Rahu off away. And poor Rahu, he's just a head. You got to be a little compassionate with the guy. Doesn't have much else to do with life. Remember the story I told about the nectar just went to the nectar. So he went complaining to Indra, because Indra has to maintain universal order, and actually Rahu was given that position of being able to cause eclipses of the sun and the moon. He's like the nodes. Rahu and Ketu are like the nodes of the orbit. So Indra got very upset. He came and said, who's this little kid? At first, Hanuman gave him a hard time, and then Indra's just like, my Vajra, thunderbolt, I'm going to just kill him. I don't care if he's a kid, we should kill him because he's causing trouble in the universe, universal affairs. So he fired his thunderbolt at Hanuman, knocked him in the jaw, and Hanuman fell down, completely unconscious. Many people thought he had died, and they took him to a cave, and his father actually carried him, Vayu. Get that father, carried him to a cave. And Vayu was so angry at the demigods and Indra, he said, if he killed my son, I'm going to make it so no one can breathe in the whole universe. So all of a sudden, all the living entities, the demigods, us on the Earth planet, everybody just started to choke. And actually, when you take away the air, it's not just the breathing that we're talking about. It's the function of everything in the body. Like if you study the Ayurveda, about the life airs. The ones that go up, the ones of prana, apana, samana, dhyana. You ever heard about these things before? Mm-hmm. Yeah. The life airs in the body that go up. These four, in the Bhagavatam, they're considered like snakes that support the anyway. In the fourth canto, Srimad Bhagavatam talks about that. So, and it also Prabhupada said that if someone is crazy, it's due to a imbalance in the life airs. So that's the way we can do away with psychiatrists, You just gotta balance the life airs again. Have you do some pranayama. And then they become less crazy. So everyone in the universe was in a lot of pain because there was no air. And they went to Lord Brahma, what can we do? And Lord Brahma said, you hurt this great devotee, Hanuman. And it wasn't Hanuman at that time. It was Anjana Sutta at that time. But Anjana Sutta. So then Lord Brahma said, you better go apologize and bring Hanuman back to life. So they all went to where Hanuman was. And they brought him back to life. And then they were so pleased. In order to pacify Vayu even more, the demigods were giving Hanuman all these different benedictions. Like Lord Brahma gave him the benediction that he would not be captured by the Brahmastra, or hurt by the Brahmastra. And he was given the benediction of having great intelligence. Hanuman was actually an amazing scholar, one of the best scholars ever, because he knew all the Vedas backwards and forwards. That's why when he met Lord Ram, he posed himself as a Brahmin, and he was reciting all these amazing mantras, simply amazing mantras. And then Hanuman regained his composure and his strength, and he was very happy, he became very powerful. But then what happens, another thing, instance of pride, because we're talking about how Garuda got proud. Even Hanuman became proud. This is a little kid, it's understandable. You have someone who's like 3 years old with all the powers of the universe. It's not a very good combination. Isn't it? It's not a very good combination. So he started to tease the sages and everything like that. And he would do things. Stories like he would lock the sages' door, because in those days they didn't have inside bathrooms and toilets. So in the morning, obviously you want to go out and relieve yourself. So he would lock the door and so they couldn't get out in the morning. Or he'd take their house and put it all the way up in the trees, or something. You know, the poor sage would wake up in the morning and look around. He'd be in a tree. And so they got pretty upset with this guy, with this monkey. And they cursed him. As a result, Hanuman, we all know the story, he was cursed to forget his powers until he was reminded. Because the sages understood that he needed to have those powers in order to carry out his mission for Lord Ramchandra. So then Hanuman also had some schooling. It's not that Hanuman automatically was... He was intelligent, but it's not that he knew everything automatically. It was appointed that he would have, as his guru, Suryadev. And so Suryadev was the sun god, of course. And so Hanuman flew up to the sun and said, "Will you accept me as your disciple?" And Suryadev said yes, and then Hanuman had to hear instructions as he flew backwards, and Suryadev flew forwards. And then at the end of that instruction, he said to Suryadev, "All right, what do you want for Guru Dakshin?" And Suryadev said, "Only one thing. I want that my son, Sugriva, will always be protected by you." And that's why Hanuman and Sugriva, they were always together. And when Sugriva was kicked out of Kishkinda, Hanuman went there to protect him, and he actually protected him against Bali several times. Bali knew he could not attack Hanuman. Of course, Mount Rishimukh was actually a very safe place because Bali had been cursed that he couldn't go near it because he had killed some demon, Dundubi, and kicked the bones away. You know the story. And some blood had fallen on the Rishi Matunga's ashram. And Rishi Matunga cursed Bali that if you ever come here, you're going to die. So that's why Mount Rishimukh was safe. So anyway, so Hanuman also took instruction in music. He had musical teacher. His musical teacher was Narada Muni. Pretty good, isn't it? So he played the harmonium pretty well. No, he was a great musician. You know, Hanuman could chant. And we actually, if you have a copy of the fifth canto, chapter 19, I can read some of Hanuman's chants for you. Yeah, fifth chapter. So anyway, he learned from Narada Muni how to sing and chant. Fifth canto, chapter 19. He learned from Narada Muni how to sing and chant, and he became so good. One time Narada tested him and said, "Let's hear your chanting." And Narada sat down, put his veena on the nearby rock, and Hanuman began to chant whatever he was chanting at that time. Chapter 19. This is actually very good. This is chapter 19. We read some of his poetry. This is really interesting. Hanuman chants the following mantras. This is actually really nice. Wow. Okay, this is you're going to take one. Om namo bhagavate uttama shlokaya namarya lakshana shila vartaya nama upasitatmana upasita dukaya nama saruvara Vikasanaya namo brahmanya devaya mahapurushaya maharajaya namahiti. Let me please your lordship by chanting the bija mantra omkara. I wish to offer my respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead, who is the best amongst the most elevated personalities. Your lordship is the reservoir of all good qualities of the audience, people who are advanced. Your character and behavior are always consistent, and you always control your senses and mind. Acting just like an ordinary human being, you exhibit exemplary character to teach others how to behave. There is touchstone that can be used to examine the quality of gold, but you are like a touchstone that can verify, of course praying to Lord Ramchandra, that can verify all good qualities. You are worshipped by Brahmanas who are the foremost of all devotees. You, the Supreme Person, are the King of Kings, and therefore I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. These are poetry written by Hanuman. interesting, isn't it? You ever heard this before? Well, you know, see? You're supposed to be Ram Bhakta from birth. What happened? So, yeah, here's another one. Yattad vishuddhanu bhava matramekam svatejasadvasta guna yavastam pratyak prashantam sudiyopalambanam yana yanama rupam niraham prapaje. The Lord, whose pure form, Satchitananda Vigraha, is uncontaminated by the modes of material nature. He can be perceived by pure consciousness. In the Vedanta, he is described as being one without a second. Because of his spiritual potency, he is untouched by the contamination of material nature, and because he is not subjected to material vision, he is known as transcendental. He has no material qualities, nor he has any material form or name. Only in pure consciousness, Krishna consciousness, can one perceive the transcendental form of the Lord. Let us be firmly fixed at the lotus feet of Lord Ramchandra, and let us offer our respectful obeisances unto those transcendental lotus feet. It's quite educated. You know, speaking in Sanskrit and writing poetry in Sanskrit. So anyway, to get back to the story with Narada Muni. So Narada Muni asked him to do a little chanting. And he chanted, and he was such a good chanter that the rocks melted. Such a good chanter. And what happened is Narada Muni had his veena on top of the rocks, so the rocks, the veena sort of sunk into the rocks. And then Hanuman stopped chanting. And Narada Muni looked at his veena and he says, can you chant a little so I can get it out again? And Hanuman said, no. You have to catch me first. So then there's a whole hide and seek or something like that between Hanuman and Narada Muni. You know, Hanuman was running away and Narada Muni, come back here. You're supposed to be my student. I'm your guru. So they had this like funny relationship sometimes with him. And then after Narada Muni ran throughout Hanuman's house or cave or wherever he lived, Hanuman said, I just wanted your lotus feet to touch every room of my house. So this is my trick. So this is good. You can make a trick to get the dust of the lotus feet of Narada Muni if you want. Narada Muni is generally depicted as quite humorous and a little tricky like that. So Hanuman is also similar in nature. Yeah, quite humorous and tricky. Yeah. Like we described the other day, that when he was fighting this demon, when he was one of Ravana's sons, Vanu something, I forget the name right now, when he was decimating the Ashoka Grove, he actually passed wine into the demon's mouth. And the demon said, what are you doing? He said, I'm a monkey, what can I expect? Or even his tearing apart the Ashoka Grove was a monkey business, you know. Normally soldiers don't do that. Anyway, so that's another story about Hanuman. And so Hanuman also had this jewel around his neck that no one could see. Only the Supreme Personality of Godhead could see. So later on, when Lord Ram and Lakshman, they were looking for Sugriva, to get Sugriva's help to be able to get Sita Devi back, Hanuman came as a Brahmana. And he just wanted to go in disguise because Sugriva didn't really know whether Ram and Lakshman were friends or foe. He saw these two Kshatriyas carrying bow and arrow and he thought, well, maybe Balin sent them to attack me. So he sent Hanuman as a spy to determine what their intention was. So Hanuman comes down and he's acting like a Brahmin. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And Lord Ram looks at him and he says, what's that on your chest, that nice jewel? He's the only one capable of seeing it. And Hanuman said, uh-oh, it's Ram. He knew it. Anyway, and then they embraced each other. And then Hanuman flew back to Sugriva, and he had Ram Lakshman on his back because he was able to expand himself like that. So that's how Hanuman met Ram and Lakshman. And Hanuman's dedication to Sita and Ram was so amazing. And of course, sometimes it was like a monkey's dedication, manifested in interesting ways. One time, Sita Devi was so pleased with Hanuman that she gave Hanuman her pearls. And Hanuman started eating the pearls. Eating the pearls, and everyone said, you know, what are you doing? You know, you have the remnants of Sita Devi. Why are you eating the pearls? You know, and he's basically in some story, he's looking for Ram and Sita inside the pearls. And then, but they said, you know, what kind of a devotee are you? And then he showed them, he opened his chest, and inside his chest was Sita and Ram. So that he was always had to pour open his chest. Another time, Hanuman was watching Sita Devi prepare herself to meet Ram. And he wanted some fruit. He said to Sita Devi, you know, can I have some fruit? And she said, wait until I'm finished, you know, preparing myself and putting, you know, decorating myself. And Sita Devi was putting the sindoor there, and like the ladies put sindoor. And he said, what's that? Because in the forest, you know, they couldn't put much sindoor there. But it wasn't available. You know where sindoor originally came from? Did I ever tell you that story? Because they usually do that at the marriages. You know, that the man puts the cinder and the wife's the part of the hair. It's a Kshatriya thing. That originally, it wasn't cinder, it was blood. You know that. Because usually the Kshatriyas, they have to fight to get their wife. Not to fight with their wife, I'm sorry. But they had to... but anyway, they had to fight. The opponents, if they had an attractive wife, then there were so many other Kshatriyas they had to fight with. I mean, if the wife wasn't attractive, then there was no fighting. But if she was attractive, you know, and they fought, and there was blood. You see in Krishna's time, too, that, you know, the Swayamvara, the Kshatriyas attacked. Like when Draupadi was won by the Pandavas, by Arjuna, and all these Kshatriyas were so upset, they thought these Brahmanas have won, and the Bhim Singh had to pick up this pillar. And just like threaten all the Kshatriyas, and they were so upset. So this generally happened in a marriage. It was quite common to have blood during marriage. Even if there's that story that Rukmi was killed during the marriage of his granddaughter. You know that story in Krishna book? Because Balaram had played chess with him, and Rukmi was cheating. And Balaram, you know, ultimately got so upset he killed Rukmi with his club, and he knocked out some other people's teeth. The king of Kalinga was showing his teeth, you know, making fun of Balaram. And Balaram said, all right, I'm a dentist too, you know. He took out all his teeth. That story's in the Krishna book, actually. So the sindoors generally, previously it was like the blood of the husband's enemies. And it would signify that he's won the battle. You know, what was actually quite romantic. Because, you know, if the wife remembers, my husband fought all these soldiers just to get me. And they go through their marriage album later on, showing pictures of him fighting. Remember, you loved me so much that you even fought off my enemies? What happened to our love? Anyway. Anyway, that's what happens. Those are the good old days. So that's where the cinder came from. So anyway, Sita Devi was put on actual cinder on her hair, and Hanuman said, what are you doing this? What does it indicate? I mean, what's the need for it? She said, well, it makes Lord Ram's life very auspicious when the wife wears this. And so Hanuman was thinking for a few minutes about cinder. And so she finished decorating herself, and then she happened to try to find Hanuman. And she said, you know, where'd you go, Hanuman? I have this fruit for you, you know, for breakfast. And she looked and looked and looked, and she couldn't see anything. But then she saw like a reddish ball, or, you know, big giant ball. And she looked real closely, and she said, what's that? Hanuman, is that you? And he said, yes. She said, what have you done with yourself? And he said, because you have a little hair on your head, and you're able to put the cinder, so I have a lot of hair, and I have a lot of parts in my hair all over your body. So that's why you generally see Hanuman with the reddish. And everywhere you go, Braj or anywhere else, you see I actually covered reddish color. So that's a cinder story. And Hanuman actually is still around today. Even during the before the Mahabharata war, he ran into Bhimsen. It's interesting, Bhimsen. It's an interesting story from the Mahabharata. That Bhimsen was usually controlled by Draupadi. When Draupadi wanted something, Yudhisthira didn't always cooperate. You know, because Yudhisthira was interested in Dharma and everything like that. So she would go to Bhimsen and say, you know, your other brothers don't love me as much as you. You know, a little manipulation, right? Like in a Kijika was killed. So one time there was a lotus flower that fell from the heavenly planets. And it came and she said, you've got to get me more. And he said, of course! Well, I'm not going to tell my brothers because they'll stop me. So anyway, so he started to go towards the heavenly planets in the path of the heavenly planets. And on the way to go to the heavenly planets, he saw this monkey lying in the path. It was a monkey's tail, actually, was blocking the path. It was an old monkey, big old monkey. And he said, you know, move your tail. And the monkey said, you know, I'm just so old, I have trouble moving my own tail. So why don't you move the tail for me? So Bhimsen, you know, and Bhimsen is also Vayuputra. He's the son of Vayu, the wind god. So Bhimsen tried to pick up the tail. All of his strength, you know, he had the strength of millions of elephants. I mean, you can't even compare it. He tried to pick up the tail, and finally the tail lifted, but it lifted him up. And then he understood this wasn't just some ordinary monkey. It was Hanuman. And so he said, oh, Bratashri, because that's his brother. And then Hanuman was very pleased with him. And Hanuman agreed to become the flag on Arjuna's chariot. That's when Hanuman made that deal with Bhimsen. I will protect you always, but beam the flag. And it's described in the Mahabharata war that it wasn't just the flag. The flag would roar. Anyone remember this from the Mahabharata? The flag would roar and people would die. You know, it would kill people. He had a flag with Hanuman. And it was such a loud sound. It's like nowadays the scientists are also experimenting with sonic weapons. You know about that? You know, weapons. And even like to counteract the pirates. They have pirates now. So they have the sonic weapons and fire them at the pirates who try to attack them in different areas of the world around Africa. And so Hanuman, it was a sonic weapon on the flag of Arjuna and destroyed many of the soldiers on the opposite side. So that's another story about Hanuman. So many stories about Hanuman. Actually, it's getting a little late now. Hanuman is well known for taking the mountain with a medicine bag to cure Ram and to cure Lakshman when Lakshman was knocked down by the Shakti Shila weapon. Hanuman also saved Lord Ram and Lakshman when they were kidnapped by Mahi Ravana. There's a story that, very interesting story. Prabhupada also told the story. That's how I know it's bona fide, because not all the details are in the Valmiki Ramayana. But Ram and Lakshman, they were camped out on the shore of Sri Lanka, and Hanuman actually wrapped his tail around them just to protect them. And nobody could get in unless Hanuman let them. But Mahi Ravana, well, actually, Mahi Ravana first sent two of his servants to try to capture Ram and Lakshman, and they tried to stick their heads in to see Ram and Lakshman, and they had their noses cut off. Noses and part of the face cut off, and they went back to Mahi Ravana. You know the story, right? They went back to Mahi Ravana, and they looked like hell, you know. And he said, what happened? And then said, Mahi Ravana said, it has to be a job for me. Mahi Ravana was like a half-brother of Ravana. So then Mahi Ravana came, and he took the form of Vibhishan. And he said to Hanuman, I want to see Ram and Lakshman. So he went in and was able to kidnap and take Ram and Lakshman through the earth. Srila Prabhupada describes that Mahi Ravana's kingdom was Brazil. And Prabhupada said there is a tunnel between Brazil. This is all the Prabhupada. Prabhupada's going, had a globe, or you know what a globe is? You know, a round map. That's a globe. In the case of those of you who aren't educated. So, the map is not. All right, so, and Prabhupada was going around the globe and said, this is where Mahiravana lived. He pointed to Brazil. And he said, there is a tunnel that goes right through the earth between Brazil and Lanka. And the tunnel was operated by the process of pneumatic. It was like a pneumatic tube. You ever seen here, do they have in the banks or places where you put the deposit in a pneumatic tube and it gets sucked up? Deposit, you know, a drive-in window or something? Yeah. Hospital labs. Yeah, you put the papers or the sample and then you put it, and it's sucked up in a tube, yeah. That's how it operated, this tunnel. It's very sophisticated. So Ram and Lakshman were there in Mahiravana's kingdom in Brazil. That's why there was so much gold in Brazil. Later on, the conquistadores, the Portuguese and the Spanish came to Brazil and they took all the gold. And that was Mahiravana's gold. Did you know that? He had gold, you know. And anyway, so Ram and Lakshman were there. Mahiravana was getting ready to offer them to Bhadrakali. And so Hanuman was looking. He didn't know where they went. He found a hole in the ground. And he said, how am I going to get all the way there? And then he remembered he was Vayuputra. And he went down, sucked in. And he went to Mahiravana's kingdom. And Mahiravana's kingdom was, I try to remember all the details. It's really interesting. It's surrounded by different gates. So he went in and he had to kill all the soldiers and everything like that. And one way he did kill all the soldiers, he extended his tail into every house and killed it, all Mahiravana's soldiers. And then he got to the final palace guard where there was Mahiravana. And there they had some sort of device that could detect, you know the story? It could detect whether someone was Mahiravana's enemy or not. And Mahiravana's sister didn't like Mahiravana either. You know, she was a good guy, a good girl, sorry. And so there was like a, anyway, some sort of device, like, I don't think it was electronic, I think it was more organic than that. So what happened is that Hanuman made, they were bringing sacred water into Mahiravana so he could do the sacrifice, and Hanuman made himself very small like an insect on the sacred water in a leaf. And so they were bringing this pot in, and the needle, it showed it was a demon, you know, or someone who was against Mahiravana went all the way to the side and broke the meter. And so then Hanuman jumped up and just about killed a lot of the Rakshasas and demons. And then he found Ram and Lakshman being ready to be offered to the goddess Kali. And there's one story, it's not in the Valmiki Ramayana, I don't know how bona fide it is, that Hanuman assumed the form of the deity, but that's, I'm not gonna tell that story because it's not really there in the Valmiki Ramayana. I don't know where it is. What Ramayana is. And there's all these different stories that go around that you can't really tell where they came from. So, anyway, so Hanuman was thinking, how can I kill this Mahiravana? Mahiravana kept his life in three different places. You know, in his chest. He also kept in five flames that were in the Himalayas and in a diamond. And they all had to be broken, extinguished simultaneously. So this is kind of hard to do all three things in different places simultaneously. So he said to Ram, you're going to have to take care of, you know, the chest thing, killing him in the chest. And so Hanuman took care of the diamond and the flames simultaneously. He flew so fast. So the way that Lord Ram killed this Mahiravana was quite interesting. Mahiravana said, before I kill you, offer your obeisances to the Lord. You know, to the Durga. And Ram said, I'm a king. I don't know how to offer obeisances. Can you show me? And then Mahiravana got down to show him how to offer obeisances. At the same time, Hanuman extinguished the flames and crushed the diamond and everything like that. Mahiravana was killed. And Hanuman saved Ram and Lakshman. And he flew back with him to Lanka. And anyway, the rest of the battle occurred. So I don't think we have more time to tell more stories. But there's a lot of stories that I remember. I mean, Hanuman's, actually one other story is interesting. Is Hanuman, when he was looking for Sita Devi, he flew into the palace of Ravana, and it's described that there were thousands of ladies there, and they were all drunk. They were all drunk, and Hanuman was, and some of them weren't dressed too properly because they were drunk. It was nighttime. You know, every night they would get drunk, and Hanuman was flying around thinking, you know, what am I, a brahmachari, doing in this place? Then he remembered he was on Lord Ram's mission, so that protected him. And then he saw in the middle of this whole palace there was a giant bed, and on this bed there was Ravan with his other lady, who was extremely attractive. And at first he thought it was Sita Devi. He said, no, but Sita Devi wouldn't be there. But anyway, when he first thought it was Sita Devi, he started kissing his tail as though he had found Sita Devi. But then he realized it just wasn't. It was Mandodari, the wife of Ravan. And so he was thinking, should I kill this Ravan? And then he thought, no, Rama's not told me to do that. He said, just find Sita Devi and, you know, test out how strong they are, see how strong they are. So he fulfilled his mission. He didn't go beyond what he was told to do. Although he could have killed Ravan, because Ravan did not have immunity from animals. But still, he maintained his devotion and his obedience to Lord Ram's order. So Hanuman's a perfect example of someone who is loyal, obedient, loving, devotional, I mean, all these good qualities. So today we should pray to Hanuman for that, for those qualities. And Hanuman will actually help us in this way. Okay? So any questions or comments? Questions or comments or arguments or problems? Any other stories you wanted to hear about Hanuman? Yeah. Another universe? Yeah, air is part of one of the Pancha Mahabhutas, you know. It's actually very important, you know. Earth, water, fire, air, ether. You know, these are the Pancha Mahabhutas. The gross air is actually a grosser element. And then you have the lingashri, the subtler elements, mind, intelligence, and ego, false ego. So air is like always a constituent part of the universe. Air. That's not bona fide. You see that everywhere. I mean, that's an impersonal understanding where we have Hanuman. He looks like he's God, you know. You have Lord Varaha there and everything like that. You know, that's not in the Valmiki Ramayana. It's not in the Tulsidas Ramayana, is it? No, I don't know where they got that idea from.
And then he said to the devotee, he said, what do you want? He said, I want to be able to help remove all the ghosts and whatever in front of the palace. And he said, okay, fine. What are you going to give me in return? The devotee said, I don't have anything offered but to offer some part of my body. And then he offered, but then he didn't want.
I had a dream last night too. I had a dream last night that I was flying through the air, you know, but it didn't happen. So, yeah, I mean, people have these visions or whatever, but I mean, I go by Guru Shastra and Sadhu. And I have not found anyone in our Sampradaya talks about Panchamukha Hanuman. I have not found any authorized Vedic source that talks about, although I've seen plenty of deities of him, Panchamukha Hanuman. But you know, Hanuman is not God. He's an expansion of Lord Shiva's Anga of Lord Shiva. Anga means like limb or expansion of Lord Shiva. He's not Vishnu. Certainly not. He's a servant of Vishnu. I mean, it's not Vishnu Tattva. He's a jiva soul that's empowered by Lord Shiva. That's it, you know, like the Shaktipat of Lord Shiva. And then, you know, we worship him. He's an eternally liberated person. Even though he appears to appear on the earth, he's eternal. You know, Hanuman's always there. He's in, even though he's in Kim Purusha Loka, he's also in the spiritual world, in the Yogin, in the spiritual world. We can't think that he just remains here. Even though he was told to remain here, he's also in the spiritual world simultaneously. Any, what's that?
You mentioned that devotees are being attached to different forms of love.
Yeah.
So what would be the outcome? Suppose if one is in the first form,
yes. They go wherever that form is, you know. If you're attached, let's say, to Lord Ram, then you'll go to Ayodhya in the spiritual world. Nice. No problem, is it? Yeah, we should be happy to get out of here. If you're attached to Lord Vishnu, I mean, there's many Sri Vaishnavas who are attached to worshipping Lakshmi Narayan. Like if you go into Sri Rangam, you hear Om Namo Narayanaya Namah Om Narayan. It's recited all the time in the temple there. And they're very attached. It's very good. It's very good. They're Narayan bhaktas. And there's devotees who are Kurma bhaktas. There's a place called Kurma Kshetra. I guess there's no one here who was on our trip with us. Yeah, oh, yeah, you were. Yeah. You remember? Remember Kurma Kshetra? Yeah. Fucking know who was there. Is he the only one who was on our trip? Our southern trip here? Yeah. Yeah, we went to Kurma Kshetra. And they received us nicely, remember? They gave us a turban and worship and everything like that. I mean, it was nice. Nice Brahmins there. It was an ancient temple with carvings all on the outside. Unfortunately, many of those carvings had been smashed by the Muslim invaders. Sometimes they smashed the faces of the carvings on the outside. You remember that, right? But they sat us down and gave us, you know, really opulent prasadam there. Isn't it? They were so nice to us there. Whole Vedic reception at Kurma Kshetra. We had a whole party of 30-something people with us. It's fun. One day, one of you can go with us. One of you can go with us. We'll talk about it. But I have to have a good temple president to manage the devotees. Otherwise, for me, it's like kindy. Like being in charge of kindy. So I fortunately had Ramanuj. You remember Ramanuj, right? He was my temple president. So he managed everybody. Took all my headaches. I just woke everyone up in the morning. Remember? Because everyone was sleeping, so I had to go by their hotel room. No, I didn't knock on the door. I yelled, Hare Krishna. You remember that? I go by the, because each door had a transom. You know what a transom is on the door? There's an opening on the top. I would be chanting my japa as everyone was sleeping. Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Krishna, Krishna, get up! The bus is leaving! It's going to leave without you! Remember?
I quickly remember when someone had hanged his dhoti in front of the, in the, when we entered the hotel.
Yeah.
And he said, take it off.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the devotees, they were hanging their dhotis in good, nice hotels everywhere. You know, it was some really nice hotels with air conditioning and everything like that. And then, you know, you see all, everyone's laundry just hanging in. Like they were in, that's the one problem I have in Fiji. I mean, people hang their dirty laundry in front of the house. You know, if you have laundry, put it on the line or in back of the house or something. You don't greet guests with all your laundry hanging. Isn't it like that in Fiji? Do people do that? It's bad manners. Yes, I remember I was yelling to devotees. I was yelling a lot. That's true.
Did you have that forest where that lady brought ice cream for us, Maharaj? And it was pretty hot. And she had brought some tours to the prasadam for all of us.
That was Vishakhapatnam. Yes, Vishakhapatnam. She was the wife of the temple president there. And that temple was, there was a temple there on the beach, remember? Yeah, construction. A beautiful temple, a construction, under construction, right on the beach where the sun would rise, and beautiful beach. That's Vishakhapatnam, right outside the city of Vishakhapatnam. We had a good time on that trip. South India. Gary Daughter went with us, too. But you know, you were scared.
For my lifetime.
Yeah, it was a trip of a lifetime. We'll probably do it again, but just with young people now. No one over 15. And you got to have a doctor with you, too. You know, we had Rupanuga with us. Because, you know, people get sick on the trip and you're stuck in the middle of nowhere. I mean, it was an interesting trip. So in the future, we'll do something like that. For those of you who are adventurous, willing to risk your lives on the roads in India. I mean, sometimes the bus would go down on a motorway in the wrong lane, you know, the wrong side. You know, it's India, you know, the bus, it's a motorway. There's some motorways in India, actually. And the bus would actually go down, like, in the opposing traffic would be going like that. We had that problem everywhere. It was actually funny. Okay, I think we have to get going. So we have an Abhishek now, or what?
Already good.
Okay, so we should do an Abhishek for Hanuman. Okay, all